Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Battle Flight by Jamie Davis and Michael Anderley. Narrated by Joel Richards. Chapter 1. Gardas Sector, Federation Ship Indomitable, Deep Space Recon Patrol. Second Lieutenant Remington Canaletta checked his readouts to make sure the sensor data he and his wingmate had collected was being transmitted to the enormous starship ahead. Long-range deep space recon missions were among the most boring of duties, unless you ran into an enemy creeping around the frontiers of the Etheric Federation. Then they became all too exciting. This 3-day mission was the boring kind. He opened his comm and reached out to his wingmate, Second Lieutenant Jock Batten.
Growler, I opened a channel to Indomitable. I'm sending the telemetry data from our patrol. Do you have that report written yet? It would be nice to submit it at the same time.
Negative, six-shooter. I got sidetracked on some recipe ideas for when we get back.
Oh, come on, dude. You promised you'd do it. I don't want to have to wait for your sorry ass to get finished before I can leave the flight deck. My bunk is calling my name.
You won't say that when you find out what I came up with.
The other pilot's enthusiasm dripped from his voice as he continued.
We've been claiming our booze uses one of the recipes Team BMW served in All Guns Blazing back on the Meredith Reynolds, right?
Yeah. Don't tell me you finally figured out why ours tastes like turpentine, not fine earth scotch.
Yep. It has to do with the ingredients in the mash. If we do some wheeling and dealing, we can get the right combination of grains to make it right.
Remy wanted to curse and also whoop for joy. If their endeavor to distill hard spirits in the depths of space had official taste buds, they belonged to Jock. He could get any eclectic collection of ingredients to ferment into decent alcohol. Remy's engineering skills had made their stills work over the years, and Jock's ingredients had made them shine.
Look, I'm glad you figured that out, Growler, but we can't do anything with it until the report's finished. So start writing. There's still time to get it done.
He checked the chrono, and their plot in relation to the Indomitable. Their home ship was over an hour away.
I'll add a note at the end of the telemetry stream that the report is forthcoming.
All right, six shooter, you win. Switching gears to boring fleet pilot mode.
Remy smiled and settled into his seat, his arms resting on the sides of the cockpit. He closed his eyes and allowed himself to rest for a few welcome minutes, while they coasted through space in relative safety. There was nothing to worry about when they were this close to Indomitable. If anything came up, they'd launch the ready fighters from the deck before they required the deep recon team to fight. The cat nap lasted 47 minutes. Then the comms chime woke him. He roused long enough to sit up and check the signal. He expected it to be from Jock. Instead, it was from the large ship in front of him, nearly filling the view screen now.
Six-shooter here. Go ahead, Indomitable.
Six-shooter, this is Indomitable Flight Actual.
Remy's eyes widened. That was the chief of flight ops for the whole ship. What did she want from them that couldn't wait until after their debrief? Surely there hadn't been time to pore over their telemetry data and find an error.
Go ahead, Flight Actual.
You and Growler are to skip flight debrief and proceed directly to my ready cabin upon landing. Do you understand?
Yes, ma'am.
He desperately wanted to ask her why, but he resisted. If she wanted him to know, she'd have told him. A thought nagged him. Did this have something to do with their recon flight?
We'll report as soon as we lock down after arrival.
See that you do. Flight Actual out.
Remy switched channels.
Growler, this is Six Shooter. Did you copy that transmission?
When his wingmate didn't answer, Remy swiveled his torso and peered out the viewport to see if he was still on station. The other fighter was right where it should be,
Raising his voice, he repeated the call to Growler. A sleepy voice replied, "What? I'm here, I'm here."
"Did you send the report like you were supposed to?"
I think so.
"Double check. I just heard from Pitbull."
"What did she want? Why didn't she wait until we landed?"
"That's what I'm wondering. Check the log and make sure your report went off right after my telemetry stream."
After a suspiciously long pause, Growler came back on. "I must have dozed off right before I hit send. You know that writing reports puts me to sleep. I'm sending it now, okay?"
"That's fine, but I think it's too late. Pitbull didn't sound happy when she calmed me a minute ago. She must have been watching for it and noticed it was missing. This is on you, dude. I expect you to own up to it. She already has it in for us."
"She just doesn't know how to have fun, that's all. What kind of pilot can't take a practical joke?"
"I let you convince me that it was a good idea to put blue dye in her shower head," Remy growled. "It's your fault it took weeks to wear off."
"At least we figured out where she got the handle Pitbull. She must be holding a grudge."
Remy shook his head. "You think? Look, just get that report in. I'll think of something to smooth this over. She's been looking for an excuse to cut us down. This might be what does it. She'll assign us to every long-range recon for the rest of this hitch if we're not careful."
He cut the channels so he wouldn't have to listen to Jock's protestations of innocence and excuses. His best friend was a ton of fun, and in a stand-up fight, there wasn't anyone he'd rather have by his side. However, give him any free time and he would get into trouble. The next 20 minutes passed at a snail's pace. By the time they finished the post-flight checklists and locked down, passing control to the flight deck's crew, visions of their possible punishments filled Remy's head. Jock didn't seem bothered by the situation when he came around the back of his fighter. His grin was as mischievous as ever.
"What are you smiling at? The commander is waiting for us."
"Don't get your panties in a bunch. What's the worst thing they can do to us for failing to turn in a report? So we get some extra duty hours. We can find a way to trade those away. We always do."
Remy wished he had Jock's confidence. They left the flight deck and wound through the warren of corridors until they reached the flight ops ready room. As soon as he walked through the doors, he knew this was not about the report. The first clue was the presence of Indomitable's exec. He would never be present for a paperwork snafu. They must have found the still. It was the only thing that could have brought the XO into the room. Remy racked his brain to figure out how they'd found it when he and Jock had gone to greater lengths to hide it this time. Both second lieutenants snapped to attention as they entered and saluted the officers. Even thick-headed Jock realized something unusual was happening. As he held the salute, Remy's eyes wandered to the corner of the room. Two grav trunks hovered by the back wall, and he recognized the stickers on the closer one. That was his. They'd packed up his cabin and personal effects while they were out on patrol. Remy gulped. This was bad. The exec returned their salutes but didn't instruct them to be at ease. They stayed at attention. Commander Catherine Pitbull Nelson stayed behind her desk.
"Gentlemen, do you know who Chief Petty Officer Gomez is?"
The pilots glanced at each other. Remy shook his head.
"No, ma'am. Should we?"
There were over 1,000 people on board Indomitable. It was impossible to know everyone outside of your operational area of command.
"By the time we're done here, you'll remember the name, I'm sure. CPO Gomez's team threw a birthday party for him. They procured a special gift to celebrate the occasion, a bottle of spirits."
A pit formed in Remy's gut. Oh, fuck. They'd finally killed someone with their hooch. Jock must have had the same thought.
"He's not dead, is he?" No, she's not dead, Pitbull snapped. You should be thankful for that.
The exec's eyebrows lowered even farther, and his face darkened as blood rushed to the surface.
She is, however, blind. The ship's surgeon told the captain she'll require extensive nerve regeneration to recover her sight.
Remy knew where this was going, but he had to ask. He looked Pitbull square in the eyes.
Are you sure this is connected to us, ma'am?
Commander Nelson slid open a desk drawer and pulled out a glass bottle with a familiar label. She held it up, then turned it to read the writing on the side.
Authentic Earth Scotch, distilled from the recipe used by the folks at All Guns Blazing.
Jock cleared his throat.
Do you have something you'd like to add, Lieutenant? The exec asked. You didn't read the rest. It clearly says, approximated, using locally sourced ingredients. Some variation in taste and side effects may occur. It's right below that first part.
Commander Nelson squinted at the fine print. She didn't look any friendlier when she returned her gaze to them.
Clearly you're familiar with the bottle and the label. That disclaimer doesn't absolve you from responsibility for said spirits.
Jock, ever the barracks lawyer, pushed even after Remy risked a quick shh to shut him up.
It's not our fault if someone drinks too much, ma'am. That's not fair.
A bellow came from the exec, who seemed to grow 6 inches. He loomed over the two pilots.
Not fair? I'll tell you what's not fair. Not fair is having my weekly poker game broken up because the captain's favorite bridge watch, CPO, is in the infirmary. Not fair is having him come down on me because there's an illegal still on the ship that's poisoning his crew. If it was within my power, I'd space both of you and be done with it.
Pitbull jumped in.
It's not, and you should be grateful. As it is, this is the last of all final straws for you two. I've had it with your shenanigans, and we can finally get rid of you.
Rid of us, ma'am? Remy asked.
Yes, rid of you. As of right now, you both are relieved of duty. You will board the next outbound shuttle to Fleet Sector HQ, where they will see to your disposition for these charges.
She lifted a pair of data pads from her desk and handed them to the pilots.
First, you're going to give us the location of your still, as well as the names of every crewman to whom you sold or gave a bottle of your hooch. Then the shore patrol officers, who should be stationed outside by now, will escort you both to the shuttle bay to await transport. It might be a long wait, but you'll remain there until it comes. I don't want you getting into any more trouble until you're off this ship.
The exec had regained some control. He nodded his agreement with what the flight operations commander had just said, glared at the two of them again, and stormed out. As Remy took one of the offered data pads, he noticed through the now open door that there were two security goons standing outside the ready room. His shoulders drooped when he realized how much trouble they were in. A moment later, he listed everyone who'd become a loyal customer over the previous year on the data pad. He was glad he and Jock were being sent away. There were about to be a lot of angry ex-customers roaming around Indomitable, who would be looking for someone to blame for the trouble they were in. It was a violation of the regs to buy their booze, so there would be a lot of people looking for payback. As he typed in the names, a thought popped into Remy's mind. This posting had been the last chance for the pair. He wondered if they were going to be drummed out of the fleet right away, or would they be put in the brig for a few years and then kicked out? One thing was for sure, no one would want them in their squadron after this.
Chapter 2 Fleet Sector Command Personnel Office. Lieutenant Commander Beaumont Ward leaned back in the chair, holding his glass of bourbon. He remembered the last time he'd been in Vice Admiral Jack Sommer's office. On that occasion, he'd been chewed out and given a nearly impossible mission to pay a debt of honor. Now he sat in a comfortable chair across from his friend Jack, under much friendlier circumstances.
Jack held up his glass.
To Sergeant Hale and his family,
Beau raised his glass in Jack's direction, then sipped the excellent example of Earth spirits. His eyebrows rose at the quality.
Jack, is this the real deal?
I wish, but it is a good approximation based.
It is certainly smooth. They say it's aged for 25 years in real wooden barrels.
It's a damn sight better than what I've been drinking out on the ass end of the frontier for the last several months.
You did good work out there, Beau. I knew you would. Now that Hale has his wife and kid back, I suppose you'd like a new posting?
While Beau appreciated the offer, that wasn't why he was here. The fingers of his free hand traced the 5-pointed tin star pinned to his flight suit, just below his fleet ribbons.
Actually, Jack, I came about another matter.
Really?
Don't tell me you like it out there. I couldn't help but notice the non-standard decoration on your chest.
Yeah, they went and made me the system's marshal.
Jack coughed in mid-sip and worked to clear his throat while he laughed at Beau's revelation.
You, a lawman! Now I've heard everything. What did they offer you to make you want to stay? There has to be an angle.
No angle. The place is primitive when it comes to creature comforts, but the people are decent, and there's still work to be done. We got some of the people who were lost back from the raiders, but nearly 100 prisoners are still unaccounted for.
So you want to stay in command of Lone Wolf Squadron?
Beau nodded.
I do, but that's not all, Jack. We're stretched thin. I need more bodies and fighters to put them in.
Can't you chase down the raiders with the fighters you have?
No. We lost 2 more of our fighters to enemy action. I have to replace the losses, and I'd like to get extra so we can carry more pilots on the roster.
Jack leaned forward and set his glass down on the table beside him.
New ships are going to be a problem. The bean counters are breathing down my neck as it is. I can't siphon off any more than what I'm already sending your way. Plus, the fleet is buying up all the new fighters that are being produced by the big manufacturers, and that's going to drive prices up on the open arms market.
Beau didn't bother to hide his disappointment.
I was hoping you could scare up something for me to take back to the team. We're holding things together with baling wire and duct tape out there.
What about that Skane scrounger I hooked you up with? Surely she has some connections and strings to pull.
Lieutenant Katie's trying, but there's only so much she can swap for something as large as a fighter.
Jack shook his head.
I'm sorry, Beau. There's nothing else I can do from the funding and material side of things.
Well, what can you do for me then? If I'm going to stay out there, I need more support. It is a fleet op, even if it's off the books. Those people deserve Federation protection.
Jack was silent for a few seconds. Then he rose and crossed to his desk. He picked up a data pad and nodded as he stared at the screen.
I can't get you ships, but I might have a few pilots I can send your way.
That would be a help.
Done.
A broad grin filled Jack's face, and the man's eyes carried a mischievous glint. Before he could press his friend with more questions, the Admiral lifted the crystal decanter and held it out to Beau.
A little more before you hit the road. I want to hear about this daring rescue you pulled off.
The change of subject told Beau he wasn't going to hear any more about his replacements.
What do you want to know?
Some information filtered back to me through non-standard channels about what happened out your way, but no details.
Beau held up his glass, and the Admiral filled it.
I'm sure whatever you heard was far from the truth. Honestly, it wasn't just me. The whole squadron pulled together to get the job done. We ran the raiders out of the system, at least for now.
Listen to you, talking like a team player for once in your career.
I like it, Beau.
He sipped his bourbon.
If you got rid of the raiders, what do you need the extra pilots for?
They've got the people we want to get back, and we don't have the resources to search neighboring systems and maintain a watch over Tardex at the same time. Even the few additional pilots you mentioned would make a big difference, provided we have additional ships to put them in. You'll have to find the fighters on your end. I got you two new pilots. That's all I can do. Jack laughed after he finished talking. Bo's eyes narrowed. What's wrong with them?
Who?
Jack asked. The two pilots you're giving me.
Nothing you can't handle, I'm sure.
They're not here yet. I might have to pull back the offer after I talk with them. But if they look like they'll work out, you can have them. Can you send someone to pick them up? We'll work something out. Maybe you can get them halfway to the rim for me.
I might make them find a way to get there themselves. It would do them good.
Jack was being cagey about the new pilots, but he clearly wasn't going to give up any more information. Bo finished his drink and set his glass down.
I need to call our station and see if they need me to pick up anything before I head back. Katie will need things from the civilized sectors to trade if we have to find our own ships again.
Bo pointed at the decanter.
I don't suppose you'd like to offer me something for the cause.
What's to keep you and your squadron from drinking it yourselves?
If we can get something in trade for it, a case of that whiskey would go a long way in a swap.
Oh, now you want a case?
Bo didn't answer. He kept his gaze level and held the Admiral's eyes.
Okay, I'll donate some to the cause since I can't funnel you any more funds. I expect to find out you put it to good use. Oh, Katie's a whiz at her job. She'll make a case of that go much farther than either of us could expect.
Good, Jack exclaimed.
The two of them stood. It was great to see you, Bo. Keep up the good work.
I'll have my orderly send the whiskey to your landing slip. It'll be there this afternoon.
Perfect.
Bo shook hands with his friend.
Thanks for the drinks. I'll send reports on our progress.
He left, and the Admiral went back behind his desk and flipped through some entries on a data pad. In the outer office, a male orderly sat behind the reception desk. He looked around as the lieutenant commander exited. Bo knew Jack had a great many balls in the air. Just thinking about that kind of responsibility made him cringe.
The Admiral just messaged me to get your ship's location.
Landing slip Tango 12 in the lower levels of the station.
The prim and proper orderly wrinkled his nose.
Ew, why are you slumming down there? You could berth your ship in the fleet landing area, you know.
I know, but I have some business to attend to below decks. It's best to keep it there. The Admiral's going to send some things to me. Make sure you send enough people along to ensure the deliveries get where they're supposed to.
Down there? You know it. Have a nice day, Commander.
Bo nodded and headed out into the station. The buzz of fleet operations and personnel centers had a certain feel to it. Right now, the atmosphere carried extra energy, but he had no idea what was going on elsewhere in the Federation to cause it. He also didn't really care. If it didn't affect the Tardex system and the surrounding areas of the Federation's frontier, he didn't need to worry about it. There were conference rooms full of admirals and generals who could give it their full attention. He caught the closest lift, and after it took him to the desired level, he turned off the main concourse to head into the bowels of the station. As he approached the slip, he heard upbeat pop music blaring from the landing bay. That was strange, but nothing prepared him for the sight that greeted his eyes as he turned the corner. Hoses and wires connected the ship to the station's fuel and energy feeds. Lieutenant Charlene Price was dancing around the rear of the long-range shuttle. Her body spun and gyrated to the pulsing beat from the overhead speakers. Bo's jaw dropped as the squadron's engineer bopped around with a wrench in one hand and a rubber mallet in the other. Every few seconds, she leaned in and made an adjustment to some component behind the opened engine panel, keeping perfect time to the music. After a minute or so, Charlie noticed Bo, and two things happened.
First, her face flushed under her close-cropped blonde hair, and her eyes glowed yellow, which said her Vexelbalk side was threatening to rise to the surface. Second, she clicked a remote that was sitting on the stubby wing of the fighter. The song went silent in mid-riff. Bo held out his hands as he tried hard to control his facial muscles. A smile might send her over the edge.
"Charlie, it's okay. I just got here and I didn't see anything. I swear."
She straightened, and her face screwed up into a scowl as she glared at him.
"If you didn't see anything, why apologize?"
"Okay, I saw you dancing. But there's nothing wrong with that, right?"
He worked to keep his voice even and level, aware he was on dangerous ground.
"Exactly, which is why you aren't going to tell anyone about what you saw."
The glow in her eyes flared brighter. Bo raised a thumb and a forefinger to his mouth and pulled them across.
"My lips are sealed. But I'd like to know why you're so self-conscious about it. It's no big deal."
She glared at him again, then let out an exasperated sigh. The glow faded from her eyes.
"It was Elspeth's idea, okay? She suggested music might keep me from getting angry when a repair issue cropped up that I couldn't fix right away. It seems to work, and I don't shift form as often."
"If it works, what's the problem?"
"The problem is it makes me look like an idiotic teenager. I don't want to relive those years."
"I think your assistant had a great idea, and you should keep exploring it. I will pretend I saw nothing. Please keep up with the repairs and dance all you want. I'm going into Drifter to calm Katie. I need to check on where I'm supposed to take the goods she sent with us."
"You do that, Commander. I'll keep working on the drive system."
He nodded and started to leave.
Sir, if the music's playing, don't come out, okay?"
"Got it. I'll keep my ears open for a lull in the tunes."
Bo hid a grin behind a fake cough and rushed up the ramp into the shuttle. He headed for the co-pilot seat and activated his internal chip to interface with Drifter's long-range comm.
"Kathy here,"
the Skane responded, and the view screen displayed a video feed from the Tardex system. The blue-skinned scrounger looked up from her desk and smiled.
"Oh, it's you, Commander. How was the trip to the Galactic Core?"
"Uneventful and potentially unproductive. I'm hoping we will come back with some of the trade goods you were hoping to arrange in swaps. Any more news on that front?"
"I think so. I have a supply officer at the station interested in the Tendelium ball bearings we manufactured on the station from the ore on hand. He has some luxury items boxed up to trade, but I don't trust him. I'm going to send you a list of what he's supposed to give us. Please check everything off the list before you give him anything."
"Surely he wouldn't cheat a superior officer?"
"Not only would he, but he'd probably lift your wallet at the same time. You might want to make sure Charlie's there as backup."
"What aren't you telling me, Lieutenant?"
Katie sighed.
"Look, sir, some people in the fleet are in deep with the various underworld consortiums. This one is no different, and he'd sell your firstborn child out from under you if he thought it would net a profit. Just follow the protocols I'll outline in the document I'm sending you, and everything should be fine."
"What are you getting in return for the Tendelium in Drifter's hold?"
"Upgraded weapons targeting systems for our fighter, and more to outfit 8 ships when we get some new ones. How's that going, by the way? What did the Admiral say?"
Bo shook his head.
"No go on getting more funds. We're on our own. Start working your contacts. We need to replace our lost fighters. We might have some new pilots coming, though."
Katie frowned.
"That's a big ask. I was hoping that with our success in running off the raiders, the fleet might send us some love."
"You and me both, Lieutenant. However, we are getting new pilots, so that's something. Get Jad to connect with June about readying new berths in the housing area. We'll fill that station before we're through."
"I'll get him on it,"
she jotted down a note before continuing.
I'm sending the
sample complete. Ready to continue?